since the morning you moved in. Good morning, friend.
Good morning, friend.
Good morning, friend.
Good morning, friend.
Yes, I'm feeling like a million since I got you living in.
We are pieces of a whole with different feelings to be built. Distinction to the role, different players, different strokes.
But let me tell you about one thing I know. Everybody's got a seed to sow. Set your heart apart, take it down the road. Everybody's got a seed to sow.
Weekend Gardener, Mike Raley here, along with Rufus Edmonston. Jeff Hamlin is engineering today. Chris Hooks is out here in his shorts. You want my coat?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
Don't forget to mention.
Cover up your legs.
NC State.
He went
shirt.
To State. There, Jeff went to Appalachian. I went to State. Dean, who came by, he and his wife went to State. So a lot of State people. Reebok just came in, but he didn't have time to talk. Somebody always wants the owner. But he's got lots of food trucks out here. There are plants galore. And Rufus, the plant we were talking, I thought it looked like a blueberry, but it had little bell flowers on it, really pretty little bell flowers. And it's a rabbit eye,
premier
variety. And it's astonishing. It really is. I like blueberry. Blueberry plants have a lot of personality. They have nice fall color. They produce one of my favorite. In fact, I had several this morning with my yogurt. Blueberries, they're good for you. They're good for a lot of things, especially Melissa's pies, blueberry pies that don't have any sugar in them.
Well, I planted two blueberries one time outside of the fence, and I will confirm that deer do love them.
Yeah.
They just didn't survive because the deer.
So you haven't planted any since?
No, haven't planted any since because I just don't have the room right now for any blueberry.
2 acres.
Yeah.
You planted too many camellias.
No, you can never have like Ann. Ann and I used to have this contest going, and she always won.
Yeah, she had about 200 out there, yeah. I think, at
but I,
at
I
one
think
time.
I think I when they make a blue camellia, I'll be one happy individual, but. Or a blue daylily.
Well, we talked to that professor that I don't know if she's a doctor or botany or what, who's a member of the daylily club, and she said it's just not in the genetics. Genetically, it doesn't
right.
seem feasible at this point. But you never know what's going to happen. And that would be pretty to have blue anything in the flower
roses,
world.
We're getting. There's not quite true blue, but
yeah, it's more of a lavender, I think.
Yeah, good roses.
I was looking around here, and you know, the spectrum is wide, but it's still you don't see a lot of blue, if any, or even anything near blue in here. A lot of succulents in here, and tulips, but they have trails, they have animals. They have plants. They have a lot, really good blueberry selection. Dean was mentioning our friend who came early in the show and brought us wine that he had made at his farm and brought some peanuts and cigars.
Oh my goodness. I cannot wait.
Did you leave a cigar butt out there
lit? Well, I had a couple.
Because they had chickens and geese and all kinds of things. They might come up and get one.
My wife calls them poison sticks, but, you know, you get to be 82 years old. There are a few things.
Got to have a little pleasure.
Got a little pleasure.
Yeah.
I know they're not good for me. They weren't good for me when I had pneumonia 2 weeks ago.
Absolutely.
I smoked less.
You got over that, didn't you?
But I'm like Bill Clinton. I didn't inhale.
Oh, okay. Well, I know, but everybody else does. That's the problem with cigars or anything you smoke.
Yeah.
Hey, the Pilot Club, and I know you're familiar with the Pilot Club, of Raleigh is having their annual geranium and plant sale April 12th and 13th at the State Fairgrounds in Raleigh. And we hope that you'll turn out for that. The Pilot Club is not a bunch of airline pilots, by the way. Yeah. They are a volunteer club. Their mission is to bring awareness and education to brain-related disorders and brain safety for all. And they're going to be at Gate 6. So that's Youth Center Road.
Now, you said geraniums.
Geraniums and, geranium and plant sales. So they'll have other plants right there. So that's Gate 6, Youth Center Road. So consider going over there. And thanks very much, Beverly, for that, letting us know about that. Now, they have been out there at the same time. The Gardeners of Wake County, I think, are still out there. They were last weekend. I think they're out there this weekend, too, at the State Fairgrounds.
I saw something. And if you start looking for the Weekend Gardener, the spring edition, at all your places, and it will tell you about a certain events, and part of it is about the
beautiful magazine.
Yeah, I'll get the magazine, and you can.
Yeah, we have a few copies out here, not many.
And it will tell you what's going on where.
Yeah.
It's a fabulous magazine.
Yes, it is.
Here's the Raleigh Garden Club on parade.
Well, I'll tell you, the Raleigh Garden Club actually started all of this. They were doing a show. They were doing bits and pieces here and there on the air. I don't know if they had a regular time slot. They may have at some point in their history, but they started in the 1930s, sometime after Durham Life Insurance Company bought the station. So they were doing that, and then John Harris started filling in for him because he was also writing a column for the News and Observer, and he did, and then in 1945 he started the Tar Heel Gardener Show. But the Raleigh Garden Club is so rich in history of this city, of this capital city. But they are responsible. They're our predecessors here on WPTF. So we're actually, the Weekend Gardener will be 40 years old in January. And if you count, and we do count, because we're basically the Tar Heel Gardener without the name, and we run more than 15 minutes. We run 3 hours. But John Harris did it for 40 years. January will be 40 years for this show.
Well, you're coming up on 40 years.
Yeah, I'm coming up on 50 years at WPTF and 40 years doing the show. John did the show for 40 years. So I don't know. It's more than 80 years that gardening has been a part of WPTF. So most of the history, it's 100 years old, WPTF is, this year. So I've been here about half of it, and gardening has been here for the majority of it. So it's, that's part of what radio and television are all about, is serving the community. And we certainly have gardening-wise over the year. We certainly haven't missed.
You know, Mike, I think more people are going back to radio. For a while there,
well, there's too many choices. They find that radio is always there for them.
It's comforting.
Yeah, it is.
Especially in your vehicle.
And especially this show is comforting,
I
think.
People tell me that when I'm out running errands on Saturday, I turn the show on, enjoy it.
I thought you were here.
I had a lady yesterday.
Aren't you here? Oh, you're saying somebody else does.
Yeah.
It's comfortable. Yeah, I thought you were out riding around. I said, well, the last time I checked, you were here.
Yeah.
You can't be in two places at once. Even Rufus Edmonston can't do that.
Yeah.
It's not that ubiquitous. Yeah. Yeah, ubiquitous.
If I use that word in one of my legal briefs, that'd be $50.
Well, it just means all over the place.
Yeah. All over the place. That's what I was saying.
That doesn't sound as good in a legal brief is ubiquitous.
I was visiting a government agency yesterday, and a lady said to me, she said, well, I sure do, my sister and I sure do enjoy listening to the Weekend Gardener. And I said, well, how do you listen to it? She said, well, we listen to it mainly on the car, but my sister listens to it all the time. And she said, my sister would love to have one of your books.
Well, meaning one of the Rufus Edmiston books.
Yeah, the Rufus Edmiston books.
Because I haven't written one.
And I said, well, hold on just a moment. I'll go out to my car and see if I've got one. So I was able to retrieve one. And so nice seeing you yesterday. I hope you and your sister are both listening this morning, because you're fine people, and you've had a wonderful career with state government, doing good things for good people at the Department of Health and Human Services.
So you this just kind of happened. You weren't out with your stand selling books.
No, I was on a let's call it professional mission.
Oh, okay.
I had a client with me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the people that pay you?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think we're supposed to do something for one of your clients in a few weeks after we do the show in Nashville,
yeah,
not Tennessee, we're the real Nashville.
Yeah, it's going to be at the Environmental Center at Shotwell. And one of my clients is Meridian Waste Company, and they want you and I to be in a, quote, booth.
Now, it's not a donkey booth, is it?
I hope not, because I would.
If it is, I ain't going to sit down.
I'd hate to see Mike Raby go under.
I've done that. For Nelson had me out years ago, and I sat in a dunking booth. It was a little airish out there day.
That's a little much.
Yeah,
no,
I don't think we deserve that.
They want us to answer garden questions.
Well,
I'm going to say you go first.
I said, do you want a real answer, or do you just want an answer?
So like these twins one time said that they were in their mother's womb, and this one said, no, you go first. No, you go first.
Oh, my gosh. Are you going to put these photos on? Oh, okay. Well, I'll see if I can handle that. Oh, okay, yeah. So we'll try and put the – Chris Hooks took some photos out here of us sitting, acting like we're doing something, because we're really not. We're just sitting out here talking, as you know. But I am so glad that we figured out – I'm glad I was right that they were blueberry bushes.
Yeah, you've got a good eye.
Yeah, sometimes I do. Well, I mean, I should know everything, because I've had the best gardeners in North Carolina – on this show for 40 years. I should know something.
You sure have.
But I don't know.
Well, I wonder, I mentioned a moment ago about my Laura Pedlam, excuse me, having a white stalk in it. Can somebody call in and tell us if there's a...
If there's a variety that has a
color?
So is it magenta?
White color Laura Pedlam?
Is there, the rest of it's magenta flowers?
Yes, like everybody...
Well, that's really something.
Yeah. So I'd like to know if there's a pure white Laura Pedlam.
Well, there. Yeah, that would be pretty too. I don't know that I've ever seen a white one.
Yeah. By the way, we had Major Dave in town yesterday, and he called me from Phil
Campbell's
place.
Yeah.
And I was
Campbell Road Nursery, by the way.
Unfortunately, unavailable. And he said he's getting ready for tomato time, getting all of his buckets ready.
Well, last year he had some deer problems with his buckets, yeah. And I think he also injured himself sometime. He had to have a knee operation or shoulder operation or something, and he wasn't able to do as much. Maybe it was the first year he grew a lot of tomatoes. But, you know, he grows a lot of vegetables, and he gives a lot of them away to homeless food banks. And so forth up in the Virginia mountains, and we're always glad to hear from Major Dave. So I'm glad he came down. And he wasn't one of your Secret Service. FBI agents. He would have made a good one,
wouldn't he?
Yeah.
I remember when I grew up, my daddy always planted over garden, we call it, but that's so he could go around the neighborhood giving food to people that needed it.
Yeah.
And that's a wonderful thing
to
do.
It is. I mean, that's just the mark of a good person. to share. Somebody, a giver rather than a taker. So those are the people I like to know, and because they're good, you know, they're good people, good stock.
Somebody the other day asked me, I want to find out too. They said, "Is it too late to plant daffodil bulbs?" Said I found some.
Well, if you got them, you better go ahead and plant them.
And
I mean, it's not the ideal time.
It's certainly not. I don't know whether they'll bloom this year or not, but
probably not.
Go ahead and do it,
unless they already have.
And they won't bloom either unless they were in. I didn't determine whether or not they had them in a cool place or not. They've got a bulb, a daffodil bulb, and many others have to have a cooling period before they'll bloom.
Right. Well, we have to ask Reebok about these containers. I mean, it looks like a place I don't know if they revolve. They kind of look like where you get a pair of glasses where they have a display for glasses or something, but they're
it's the Dollar Tree.
Yeah, the Dollar Tree, yeah. And they've got tulips in them, and I don't know what, there's some of them blooming, so I don't know if they have them in a mixture. They must have them in something for the roots to.
Yeah, they look like peat moss to me.
Yeah. So that's very interesting. I've never seen anything like that a lot. Well, he has quite a
very reasonable price, a dollar a piece.
Yeah.
You could pick up $5 worth and go home and stick them in a little pot and have quite a display.
So he has the tulip bed, the huge tulip bed out here on Ennis Road. You'll see that. But he's always thinking. You know, there are all kinds of interesting things out. He has a walking path, because he mentioned that to us in October. But he also said that he has some of these rabbit eye blueberries planted along there. So I don't know, there are all kinds of plants that you can find, and there certainly, if you want a banana tree, they have those here. The Gerber daisies. We're just talking about inside this huge greenhouse. But there are a lot of different plants in here alone.
As you mentioned, it's loaded with succulents, just loaded.
Yeah, and that's such a dependable plant. You don't have to water it. In fact, if you start watering it, you're going to kill it. Because they're low maintenance, and I believe in low maintenance plants, if at all possible, because I just don't have time to constantly prune and to dig and pamper. If you're in my yard, you got to be a survivor, because that's what I am. I'm a survivor.
Yeah, I've never had an air plant. Have you had one of those?
No, I don't think I have.
Yeah, they don't.
Is that kind of like a pet rock?
Yeah, they don't do anything, require anything except air.
Yeah, I think Melissa's had one. Before, I don't know what happened to it. I guess it disintegrated or something. But, Did you have a pet rock?
As many
sure,
rocks.
I'm sure somebody gave you a pet rock.
Oh, they did it one time, and I thought, my goodness.
What do I need this for?
As many rocks as I had to pick out of the ground for farming. That was the bane of our existence.
I can see your father's face.
Boy,
now
I can see that somebody giving him a pet rock. He would say, "Get out of here.
We're gonna send you to the doctor."
Yeah, I'm gonna send you to the hospital down there at Morganton. Pet rocks.
Skip,
and they were literally selling them, making money off of pet rocks.
Yeah, Skip, I apologize. You're with us. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, it was about time, wasn't it, for me to do that? To take your call.
I know that I need to set aside time when I call.
Yeah. Well, we just kind of go off on the tangents, and that's the nature of the business.
Well, you've got Rufus there, right?
Yeah, he's here.
Okay, well, that would explain the tangent, right?
You know? Yeah, yeah.
That would explain,
he's the king of tangents.
Yeah, that's right.
What's going on at your church? You got a garden this year?
We do have a garden, and so I've got two questions. One of them... So my wife owes me some time, because I'm asking on her behalf. We have 47 raised beds, and in between the beds are grass, and then there's a large field nearby that hosts a ton of fire ants, but that's a different deal. She asked me to ask you guys if it's too late to put down pre-emergent for crabgrass and other stuff that might get into the grass between the beds.
Well, you could do it now. I think the crabgrass has already started germinating. Normally around the time that forsythia blooms, starts to bloom, is when you put that out. And that's a little earlier now, at least the last couple of years. And then you would repeat that application in about 3 months. So she
gotcha.
Could probably, there may be some seeds that have not germinated, that it would take care of that, because that's what a pre-emergent does. It prevents seeds from germinating, including grass seeds, so you can't put it out at the same time you overseed with grass. So,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if she already has it, go ahead and try it. There are a lot of other weeds out there that not just crabgrass, that the chemicals will prevent them from germinating.
Yeah, and
sure,
be sure and,
sounds great.
And keep those rows mowed before they seed.
What'd you say, Rufus?
I was going to say, if you don't get the pre-emergence, be sure and keep it cut low so no seeding goes on in that grassy area
right.
between your rows.
Right, and we're a little reluctant to use chemicals. There aren't all that many that are labeled for vegetables, so once stuff germinates, we don't generally try to control it very well just because of, again, it not being labeled for vegetables. Hey,
yeah.
One other question, if you have time, but I don't want to monopolize the time.
No, go ahead. We got about a minute before news. But we'll hold
no
you
worries.
Over.
So out in front of our house by the mailbox and water meters, there's about a 9 linear foot horseshoe bed. I want to put something colorful in that would tolerate partial sun, not full shade, but some shade. And in a perfect world, it would be resistant to the deer, but I don't live in a perfect world. So just something that would be colorful, maybe to put out as soon as April 15th, the last frost date.
Well, I'm going to suggest, since I learned that there are dwarf Laura pedlums, that would be colorful, evergreen, and I don't know about the deer, but I'm going to suggest that. Now, a deer will eat azalea, and I know that for sure.
Oh, for sure.
Hey, Skip.
I confess to that.
Skip, hold on a second. We'll be right back with you.
No worries.
We'll take we're at Handpick Nursery, Ennis Road in Johnston County near McGee's Crossroads with a Weekend Gardener. Back on WPTF at Handpick Nursery on Ennis Road. And for folks who went to Northern Nash High School, it's like a spell like the Coach Ennis, who was there, who was a legendary North Carolina basketball high school coach, basketball coach, E-N-N-I-S. And you go to McGee, take the McGee's Crossroads, if you're on 40, take that exit if you're heading east, and you can get down here pretty quickly. We're not Ennis Road is not far from Interstate 40. And come join us. If you know the area where Stevenson's Barbecue is, we're not far from there. And a lot of other things. Not far from, this has a Benson address. Skip, you were talking about, I was looking at an extension gardener issue. And they were mentioning.
Yeah, just a plant recommendation. I know Rufus mentioned Laura Pedlum. Just something, even an annual, that would be colorful, tolerate less than full sun around a mailbox.
Well, this is...
You know, my wife, who runs our church community garden, is also a big fan of deer, so we feed them in the backyard, so I can't
right.
complain about what the deer do. They
well,
eat the
this...
corn for supper, and then they eat the plants for dessert, but that's
yeah.
just what we have to do.
Well, these are
deer
resistant. These are deer-resistant plants.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's anything deer-proof, but
right.
let me give you some ideas here. According to the folks at the Cooperative Extension Service, Chinese juniper, wax myrtle, oleander. There are a couple of varieties that will work here just as well as they will at the coast, because real cold weather is going to hit them if it's late enough. Rosemary. This says gardenia, which surprises me.
That surprises me. That's pretty big.
Yeah, but so they're deer resistant. Nandina, Chinese holly, also the Japanese plum yew, needle palm. If you can get that to grow here, also Miss Huff lantana, which is a very hardy lantana, and has the three colors: the pink and the orange and.
But it's going to be ugly in the wintertime.
Yeah, it's going to be ugly in the wintertime. And there are some flowers like purple coneflower and some of the salvias, Texas sage, blue anise sage, also false indigo, which is a type of salvia, I believe.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds great. Thank you.
There are some muley grass. Is really interesting. Fountain grass, they're low maintenance and pretty dependable. There's some ferns, cinnamon fern, lady fern, Japanese painted fern, and Christmas fern, holly fern. So they are some that are, according to NC State, are deer resistant plants. But if they're hungry enough, Ann Clapp used to say, if they're hungry enough, they're going to eat it.
Skip, what did you say? That you did some research on Laura Petalman, and they what?
No, I just said that you mentioned Laura Petalman, and that sounds like certainly an option. Hey, one last question for you guys who have lived in North Carolina. I've only been here since 1967, but I know Rufus is a light blue kind of guy. I'm actually a dark blue guy. But have we ever had a year when the potential for both men and women's teams could win the national championship?
Absolutely not. In my memory.
Not in my memory. And we got two sports guys here. Any NC ever been two college teams in the state where the men and women were both up for the national championship, or had
Duke did in 1999. The men lost to Connecticut. The women lost to Purdue.
So they made it to the both made it to
they
the final four.
They both made it to the national championship.
They both made it to the national championship game in
1994 on back-to-back days. North Carolina won its national title over Louisiana Tech in women's basketball.
Yeah, okay.
And Duke played the next day against Arkansas in Charlotte.
Okay. Skip, does that tell you what you need to know?
Yeah,
but it's still great that NC State's women and men are both getting so close.
I totally agree. The Elite Eight, and it would be like Jesus is coming back if they both won the national championship in the same year.
And that's from a good Methodist there.
Yeah. Well, can you believe the memory of our engineer Jeff?
Yeah, Jeff. WPTF has always had a lot of sports guys, you know. So we never have a problem figuring out a sports question.
Yes.
We quite often have a problem sometimes when Rufus and I are only ones doing it, getting gardening questions answered. But we do the best we can. But we got sports covered, at least today.
For sure. And my wife and I were married 50 years on March 23rd, and you guys who are sports guys will remember that was not the most prominent event on March 23rd. 1974, but a couple of
I was in NC State that year.
Yep.
A couple of no-name guys like David Thompson, Tommy Burleson, Monty Tau ended UCLA's basketball dynasty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was
in Greensboro.
Beautiful year. Yep. Beautiful year.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you, Skip.
Appreciate your show.
Take care, buddy.
Have a great rest of the day and happy Easter.
You too. And we have a regular listener from Fayetteville that just came in.
Here comes one of our friends.
We are so glad glad to see you. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, great. Yeah, let's get him a headset and microphone. How was your trip up today from Fayetteville? Everything
fine,
cool?
Fine.
Yeah. It's a little farther than Lillington, but thank you so much for – you're so nice to come up here. And I'm going to – do you like wine?
No.
You don't like wine? Rufus might give you one of his cigars. You like cigars?
No, I definitely stopped smoking.
I'm so glad to hear you say that.
40 years ago.
No, I can't wait to smoke that cigar. Now, you stop smoking. That's great.
Yeah, get your picture taken with a cigar in your mouth. So, thank you very much for coming. Are you? How's your garden growing?
It's doing well. It's doing well. My summer sweets and sweet shrubs are starting to bud out. My crepe myrtle shrubs, because I don't want the big trees anymore.
Yeah, and there's something new blooming every week, it seems like. The dogwoods this week, at least for in our area, it's probably they're a little earlier down there.
Also, they're blooming down there. My camellias are going.
I think they have a dogwood festival. Do they? Don't they in somewhere around there close?
In Fayetteville, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's probably like the Azalea Festival. It doesn't always coincide. Sometimes they bloom earlier than the festival. But, yeah, that's a wonderful thing. Dogwoods are a real precious commodity, and some are native to North Carolina. There's several varieties that are native to North Carolina. But the most reliable ones, like the Korean dogwood, are not the ones that bloom. You know, the bracts come out and the blooms come out after they leaf out. But, I love the dogwood. A lot of mythology about dogwoods and how hard the wood is and so forth. Here, let me give you let you move up. Let me give you a magazine, our new magazine. Isn't that a pretty cover?
Yes, very pretty.
Yeah, it's got a lot of stuff in it.
Well, you normally have your entourage with you.
They're shopping.
Yes,
they're shopping. He does. We don't have entourages anymore, but apparently you do. I've never had one. Rufus may still have an entourage at certain points, but we're going to talk to Richard here. Richard, good morning. You're on the Weekend Gardener.
Good morning. Well, I had to change my tomato grow list slightly. But I went out to see Gerald at the farmer's market, and Craig Lahoulier's.
And by the way, Craig is going to be on the air with us between 10 and 11.
Okay, great.
Today.
Well, where you have Craig's information and Gerald's information coincide, it's a recipe for success.
It absolutely is. Now, you wrote me an email about your. About straw bales versus hay bales.
Yeah.
Explain that.
They're two different products. Hay is a rather fine product, but what you want is the straw bales. And when you set straw bales, set them so that when you look at the cross section, you see the hollow side.
Yeah.
So be sure to specify straw bales. And they come in different sizes. Sometimes you get a small one, sometimes you get a large one. So be sure when you determine how many tomatoes per bale, some sources say you can put two per bale or one per bale, that if you have a small one, that may not be enough. But you can do companion gardening with it, plant some basil with it.
Okay, well, that's interesting, the differentiating hay bales from straw barrels, Rufus.
Well, I wonder, you got my response. Maybe we better not talk about that. I said, that sounds like a lot of trouble to me.
You'd rather just put them in a container.
At a lot of expense, I said, let's just go either with the ground or containers. What did you think about my response?
Well, the virtues of the straw bale are they're supposed to be relatively sterile, and when you finish with them, by the next year they'll reduce into some good compost. But if you're constrained by space, if you have good containers, it's probably all you need. But the list I got from Gerald, and Gerald also has a good selection of peppers and eggplants. But the tomatoes, I have the Sun Gold and Polish. Those were on Craig's list of 10 tomatoes that changed my life. And then I have a Mark Twain and an Early Girl Plus, which is an improved version, and then two Better Boy Pluses. And the peppers, I got a Red Knight, which is a really large bell pepper. And they have pepperoncinis. I normally buy them. in a jar, and there's a Japanese pepper, shishito, and he's got those in sweet banana peppers, which I normally buy in a jar. And I talked to a chef, and he said, what you can do with the pepperoncinis, the sweet bananas, is put them in a super fine dice, turn them into a paste, and mix them with some olive oil. And you can use that on bread or whatever. And Gerald also has an interesting African pepper out there. I meant to get one of those, but ran out of space. And I remember a certain flavor when I was in Africa that it was hot, but it was also sweet at the same time. And I believe that's what he had. He said they're pretty scarce and difficult to find.
What country in Africa was that?
That was anywhere from Morocco down to Nigeria. Most.
Oh, okay, so northern Africa. Rufus, you've been there. Do you have any pesto? And
No, I had none whatsoever. I've been to Senegal one time.
Yep.
Beautiful country.
Yeah.
And by the way, I noticed in Gerald's article in the Weekend Gardener, he mentioned something akin to Cherokee purple called Purple Boy. I'm anxious to try that. Yeah. Are you familiar with that?
Not real familiar. Each year I try to have at least one or two that I've never grown before. It's like being a kid in a candy store when you go see Gerald.
Oh, absolutely. Endless decisions.
Yeah.
Oh, and let's pray for Monica because of this darn festival going on.
Yeah, you know, we were supposed to be there next week, but we decided to move it to May because it's just a lot of people out at Dreamville and the farmers market. I mean, it's really, and of course, the Centennial Campus. There's so many huge properties out there, the cathedral, and so there's a lot of traffic, and that will certainly add a great deal of traffic for a couple of days there. So,
yeah, not only that, but last year I went to the market after that festival, and I thought I was going on Centennial. I was driving through the landfill.
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
I can't believe people will do that.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. Happy
Lord
Easter.
Lord knows we could use everything that man taught right now.
Absolutely, yeah.
Isn't that the truth?
Well, Richard, thank you very much. Have a nice day.
All right. Y'all have a great one. Thanks for being there for us.
Yes, sir.
And thanks for all of the sponsors.
Absolutely. We do thank them, like Handpicked Nursery, where we are today, when having a nice time. And let's see if we can go to Beth. Beth?
Good morning.
Good morning, Beth.
If I heard you correctly, you were asking if there was such a thing as a white flowered Lorpetalum.
And Rufus has one that is pink, and it also has some white flowers on it. But do you have a white Lorpetalum?
My next door neighbor does, and it's as high as its roof. And
yeah,
they do make a white one, and they can grow 6 to 10+ feet. With a spread of 8 to 9 feet, and they do grow upright, and they can take sun or part shade. And my neighbor's, like I said, is at the roof line right now.
Okay.
How about that? Well, thank you very much for letting us know about that, Beth.
Well,
you're very welcome.
I now know, Beth, that from what you've told me, that when I got the Lorpetalum from wherever I got it, they had included in there the stalk of a white Lorpetalum, because it certainly is not a color variation from the original magenta Lorpetalum. It's a separate white, and so now I know that I have two trees growing in one spot.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, it is. Wow.
Certainly is.
Well, Beth, yes.
That Lorpetalum is my favorite plant.
Well, they do look good this year. They are.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
Rufus? You'll probably agree with me. The Lenten Rose, hellebores, are outstanding this year.
Yeah, they have been. Everything that blooms has been so far.
I agree.
Of course, I hope you don't have the self-seeding kind anywhere near any other kind of beds because they will take over. I have thousands now.
That's
awesome.
I'm
going to have to dig up some in my rock garden that I just don't want.
Yeah.
A lot of mine are sterile, but I do have a couple that are, self-seeding, but I love them.
Aren't they wonderful?
Awesome.
They bloom at a wonderful time of the year and last and last and last.
They do.
Thank you so much for calling.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Like so many of you, when the weather starts warming up, IMS Garden is there to help. Springtime is a wonderful place in the Triangle, and no critter seems to enjoy it more than squirrels. And while squirrels can be pesky all year long, they especially enjoy the spring and are kind of annoying. Squirrels love nibbling on leaves and buds and digging in flower pots, and they become an expensive nuisance when they tear up outdoor furniture and decks. That's why I need... And you need IMS Garden Squirrel Repellent. IMS Garden Squirrel Repellent comes in both a liquid and granular form to best protect your garden. Use a granular repellent in your flower pots and beds to prevent digging. Spray the liquid directly on plants to prevent squirrels from chewing on flowers, and it's really smart to start protecting tomato plants as soon as they have all the blooms come out and the leaves. So squirrels will leave your tomatoes alone. IMS Garden Squirrel Repellent, made with natural ingredients, ensuring a safe and eco-friendly solution for you, your plants, and the environment. Join the ranks of happy gardeners who've reclaimed their yard with IMS Garden Squirrel Repellent. IMS Garden Repellents are available all over the Triangle area, including Fairview Garden Center in Raleigh and Barn Supply in Durham. Protect your garden today with IMS Garden Repellents. So you're listening to The Weekend Gardener. We're at Handpicked Nursery here in beautiful Johnston County. And Aaron Smith is with us. Aaron, good morning
to you.
I know you all are all busy, so I won't keep you long. We've been enjoying, we haven't been outside in a while, but we've really been enjoying all that you have in this huge greenhouse. Give us kind of a quick overview of some of the plants. A lot of succulents in this building. They're Gerber daisies, tulips. I've never seen a display of tulips like that.
Yeah, this is
kind of
the first time for us. We started with the strawberries first and then decided to go a different route and put the tulip bulbs in there, and they seem to be doing pretty good. So
would you have a peat moss or something? What kind of mixture do you have in it?
No, it's rock wool. So the bulbs are sitting in rock wool and just a little bit submerged in water. So throughout the day, there's a little pump that cycles, and it just, makes sure that the rock wool is wet. And
I was wondering why those electrical cords were attached to your stand.
Yep.
Isn't that interesting? And I see a few of those blooming. And I guess they're different varieties.
Yep. We got a ton of tulip bulbs, so they're all different.
Well, I told people, for a buck a piece, you could get five and have a beautiful display for your home.
Yep.
Just stick them in some, I put mine down in rock with a little water in the bottom. Little tiny pebbles.
Yeah.
So I know you have blueberry bushes here.
Oh,
I love
the
little, with the little bells. I don't think I'd ever seen the type that had little bell flowers hanging down on it, but that's quite pretty. And you have those, and you have lots of grapevines.
Oh, yeah.
Muscadine grapevines, and we have listeners that love to grow and obviously love to make wine.
we've got all kinds of stuff here.
Yeah, and you've got a lot of things going on today, and I know there is at least one food truck out there.
Mm-hmm. We've got, it looked like at least 15 to 20 vendors set up already this morning.
Ranging, what kind of stuff are they selling? Just all kinds of?
I saw a couple people with crafts, T-shirts, some informational booths, all kinds of stuff. And then we have Easter egg hunts going on for different age groups throughout the whole day. There's opportunities for kids to feed the animals. And then
like the geese. I know you got geese, I heard a rooster out there. Yep. What else do you have?
So we got one rooster. His name's Carl. We've got a couple of geese.
A turkey.
We've got one turkey. We're looking for a mate.
And
for
it's not
him.
Me. I'm not a turkey, but I've been called that.
And a peacock.
Yeah. Man, my boss loves peacocks. If we could get some of those, he would. Yeah. He'd be so excited. And we've got a bunch of goats, six goats. I don't know now.
And a partridge and a pear tree.
So many chickens. We've got five chicks. I hatched my first egg for the first time. So that was super exciting. So we've got chicks, chickens, ducks, geese, rabbits, and goats, and a turkey. And plenty of cats. So.
I saw one coming through here a few minutes ago. So, yeah. Well, it's good to have cats around.
Yeah.
They're very intellectual, and they cut down the rodent population.
Yeah,
some.
Bowls, this has definitely been helpful.
Vole population, certainly. They're always
do
good.
Like little birds, too.
Yeah, they do. They do. Yeah, they're not discriminating sometimes. Yeah. Maybe they're too discriminating. I don't know.
Well, you need a pet pig out there somewhere, too.
Oh, Aaron. I would love a pig. Trust me.
We have a neighbor that's got a Vietnamese
got about 20 seconds
pig, and it's sort of fun that she's a pre-veterinarian student to see out there petting her pig, especially if you grew up on the farm like I did.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
That wasn't what you did with the pig.
Right.
Thank you very much, Aaron.
Thank you
Aaron.
So much.
Very,
thanks
very
for
much.
Coming
and
out
you
today.
Have great curls, too.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
More of the Weekend Gardener coming up from Handpicked Nursery.